Thank you there. Appreciate this opportunity to bring a message tonight. The message will come from Psalms 34:15 and 1 Peter 3 and 12. I want to thank those who have already gone before me, the opportunity that was given to them, especially Brennan reading the scripture for me. Tonight I want to call your attention to Psalms 34 and also 1 Peter 3. Now, tonight I want to share some words with you that I pray will help you solidify your commitment to the Lord. My focus tonight, God answers the prayers of the righteous. Prayerfully, with the result of our confidence, it will elevate our evangelistic thrust, because the world needs Christians who have some spiritual courage, confidence, and stability. When the winds of adversity blow, the world can see that Christians are stable and rooted. Hopefully, the word reveals to us that type of stability. And if I'm successful in doing that, we will continue to be evangelistic long after this little talk is over. God answered the prayers of the righteous. When we look at the 34th division of Psalm, I'm driven to the conclusion that the psalmist believed God Almighty heard and responded to the prayers of his people. Listen to some of the things that he said in Psalms 34, 4, 6 through 4 and 6 through 8. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He continued, the angel of the Lord encamped around those who fear him and deliver them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Now look at verse 12 through 16. The psalmist says, what man is he that desires life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalmist continues, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cries. The face of the Lord against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save in such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Casual reading of that portion of the 34th division compels us to compulsory conclusion that the psalmist believed that God believes and hears the prayers of the righteous. God answered the prayers of the righteous. Now let's turn over to 1 Peter 3 and 10. And it seems that the apostle Peter had been drinking from the same spiritual fountain that the psalmist had been drinking from. He had drawn some of the same conclusion. He even stated it very same way in 1 Peter 3:10 through 12. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It seemed to me that the apostle Peter, as well as the psalmist, had a deep conviction that when they cried out to the Heavenly Father, he listened to what their prayer request was, and he responded to their prayers. It seemed to me tonight that there were not a lack of confidence and courage in the response of the Heavenly Father to their prayer. And I want to suggest to you tonight that as we live in this day and age, we ought to believe that the Heavenly Father hears our prayers and that he responds to our prayer requests. I want to suggest to you that it is a miserable life to live and be unsure as to whether or not God will hear and respond to our prayer. It's like talking to someone on the phone. Have you ever been talking on the phone and for a while they didn't say anything? And you say, are you still there? If you get no response, what are you apt to do? you have to discontinue that conversation. And so it is in our communication with our Heavenly Father. If it comes to our awareness, or if we believe that our Heavenly Father is not listening, he's not hearing, he's not going to respond, we are very likely to stop talking to our Heavenly Father. We are not connecting God's response. What can we do about that? This is what I want to suggest that we ought to do. We need to begin connecting God's response to our prayer requests. Whenever we petition the Lord on our behalf and on behalf of others, we ought to be diligent in recognizing and accepting his response. But what happened? Most of the time we are like children. We can learn a lot by studying children. You can learn everything you need to know if you would listen to what you tell your children. Why? Because we understand it at that level. As adults, we are simply larger children with more expensive toys. A child will come up to his parents, standing in $70 pair of tennis shoes, $50 pair of jeans, a $40 shirt, $30 hat, a $50 necklace around his neck, and look his parents in the face and say, "You don't ever buy me anything." Well, and if we are not careful, we will do God just like that as well. We'll say God just doesn't seem to be responding. However, what really happened is this. We will ask God to do something for us, and he responds. But instead of us remembering and connecting his response to our prayer request, we just move on to the next request section. And what that calls us to be is not to be faithful and grateful as we ought to be. As Christians, when we ask God, God responds. We should connect his response to our prayer request. That gives us the opportunity to say, "Thank you, Lord." Now let me ask you a question, because you have to see this tonight. When people come to the congregation and they ask the church to pray for them, how many come back later and ask the church to pray a prayer of thanks? Example, I came last Sunday and asked for prayers that my grandmother might get well, and she's doing fine. Now I want you to pray a prayer of thanks for me. I took a journey last week, and I asked my brothers and sisters to pray that I might get there safely. Everything went well, and now I want you to pray a prayer of thanks for me. God always responds. So we need to get in a habit of connecting God's response to our prayer request. Then someone raised the question, when we pray, how does God respond? If the psalmist has said he responds, if the apostle Peter has declared God responds, how will I know when God has responded to my prayer? Listen to the scripture ways God responds to our prayer. God always responds. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. Sometimes when we pray, God responds to our prayer request. He gives us something other than what we ask for. Sometimes we ask God for one thing, but because of his infinite wisdom, he knows what is most appropriate for us to have. He gives us something different than what we ask for. Paul, thorn in the flesh. But the Lord said, "I am not going to remove it, but my grace will enable you to endure it." 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. Let me illustrate so you can get this. You end up working in a place with the most contentious supervisor in the company. And you have prayed that God would move you to another department. But God says, "I'm not going to move you anywhere. I'm going to give you enough strength so that your spirituality can be on display in spite of the ungodliness of your supervisor. I'm going to give you what you need to endure that situation. I'm not going to move you to another location. I'm going to give you the strength you need to endure staying there." Now, we don't like God when he answers our prayer like that. That's not the type of answer we wanted from God. But sometimes when we pray to ask God and ask of him, he responds and gives us something other than what we asked for. Now, that's not the way, of course, God responds sometimes. But sometimes when we pray, God gives us less than what we ask for. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 3. There are times when we ask of God, and God gives us a portion of that which we asked him for. Now listen to this. Deuteronomy 3:23, talking about Moses. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God in heaven or on earth can do according to thy works and according to thy might? Now watch Moses' prayer request. I pray thee, let me go over and see. Now there are two parts to the request. I want to go over and there, and I want to see close up. Let me go over and see the good land that's beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. Now Moses said, Lord, let me go over and see the land. Now notice God's response in verse 26. For the Lord was wroth with me for your sake, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward, northward, and southward, and eastward. And behold, it were thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now Moses' prayer request was, let me go over the Jordan and see the land. God said, I will let you see the land, but I'm not going to allow you to go over the land. So in this instant, God responded to his prayer and gave him less than what he asked for. So God sometimes gives us other than what we ask for, and sometimes less than what we ask for. However, we don't like God when he does that. But why would you be upset with God when he gives you less than what you ask for? Don't you sometimes give your children less than what they ask for? We sometimes, like children, need teaching. If you don't teach, show, and be an example, you will have some undisciplined children. They are going to ask for some things, and in your wisdom, you ought to say, you don't need them. Say absolutely. If you have them this way, it will destroy your gratitude and appreciation. See, we can learn a lot by listening to how we answer our children's requests. So there are times when God gives us other than what we ask for, times when he gives us less than what we ask for, but there are times, as we turn to the book of Acts 8, when God gives us exactly what we ask for. Acts 8 and 14. Philip had gone down to Samaria and had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word. Now watch the text in Acts 8, 14 through 15. Now when the apostles, which was at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they said unto them, Peter and John, who when they were come down praying for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now what was their prayer request? That those believers in Samaria would receive the Holy Spirit. That they would receive the Holy Spirit in a miraculous manner. For as yet he had not fallen on any of them, but they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. So how did God respond to their prayer request? He gave them exactly what they asked for. So there are times when God gives us other than what we ask for. There are times he gives us less than what we ask for. And there are times when he gives us exactly what we ask for. That is the kind of God we really like. He gives us what we ask for. But God is no less God when he gives us other than what we ask for. He's no less God when he gives us less than what we ask for. He's the same loving Heavenly Father when he responds to our prayer, regardless of how it is that he responds. But then there are times, not only does God give us other than what we ask for, not only sometimes God gives us less than what we ask for, not only does, he sometimes gives us exactly what we ask for. There are times when God gives us more than what we ask for. Turn to 2 Chronicles 1 and 7. And that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall of thee. Then the Lord appeared unto Solomon and said, Solomon, what do you want me to give you? Just ask what it is that you want. Tell me, Solomon. What it is that you want me to do? Now listen to Solomon's response. Verse 8. And Solomon said to God, thou hast shown great mercy unto David, my father, and has made me to reign in his stead. Now notice what Solomon is doing. God says, Solomon, what do you want? And the first thing Solomon does is express his awareness of what God has already given him. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine going to your children and you say, what do you want? And they say, Daddy, I am so glad you bought me tennis shoes last year. I'm so thankful that you bought me this bicycle. I'm so thankful. I understand at all that you've done. Now, wouldn't that make your heart feel just good for them to think that way? But listen to Solomon. God said, Solomon, tell me what you want. The first thing Solomon does is express his awareness and appreciation for what the Lord had already given him. That is a marvelous attitude to have. Watch the text. Solomon said unto him, God, thou hast shown great mercy unto David, my father, and have made me reign instead. Now, O Lord, God, let thy promise unto David, my father, be established. For thou hast made me king over people like the dust of the earth in multitudes. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this people, thy people that is so great? Solomon said, Lord, just give me some wisdom and knowledge. You know, that's what most of us need. Most people who come to the church asking for financial handouts, what they need is some wisdom and some knowledge. Most people need some advice, because if the church give you some money and you handle it like you handle the rest of the money you had, you'll be right back here again next week. So we need to know how to utilize that which we have. Now, knowledge is being aware of the facts. Wisdom is knowing how to relate the facts to each other for your personal benefit. Let me illustrate that. I can read pretty good. I can go to Kroger and purchase all the ingredients that are necessary for a German chocolate cake. I have knowledge of the cake, but I don't have enough wisdom to relate them together, so it would be an edible dessert. I know what goes in there. I know where they are. I know how to get them. I know how to bring them into the kitchen, and I know how to set them on the table. But I don't know how to mix them together so that I can have a dessert. It takes wisdom from that point on. And Solomon's request was knowledge and wisdom. Lord, give me knowledge of your will and the wisdom to regulate the principles, that it might help me and that I might lead your people. Now watch the text through verse 11. God said to Solomon, because this was in thy heart, thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thy enemies. Neither hast thou asked for long life, but hast asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou might judge my people over whom I made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. Now listen to God's response. He says, Solomon, what you have asked for, you have already in advance understood how you're going to use it to glorify me. The next time you ask someone to pray for you, they have a right to ask you, what are you going to do differently or better for the Lord after he answered that prayer? You say, God is not responding. You have a 3-bedroom house with a vacant bed, and you're constantly praying for a 4-bedroom house. However, you would not let your homeless relative stay in that vacant bed you have in the 3-bedroom house. If you get the job that you want, what are you going to do for the Lord? If you get well and live another 30 years, what are you going to do for the Lord? Solomon had already decided, if I get knowledge and wisdom, I'm going to lead the people. And God said in verse number 12, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. Now watch the rest of this. And I will give thee riches, wealth, and honor, such as none of the king have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after thee have the life. The wealthiest man there was became wealthy when he was not pursuing wealth. Pursuing wealth was not his goal. Our community are filled with prominent-minded churches, the Name It and Claim It group, that speaks and advocate that everybody ought to pursue wealth, and that ought to be the ultimate dream, drive, and motivation factors. These scriptures ought to say something to us. Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge that he might render service to the Heavenly Father. However, wealth was a byproduct. A byproduct. You see, he got wisdom and knowledge first. That's why he never went broke after he was wealthy. Always remember, millionaires go broke. Several millionaires, celebrities, entrepreneurs, etc., filed bankrupt for the last few years, several years. It's not the amount of money, it's how you manage the money. That's why people need wisdom and knowledge in how to manage money. But how does God answer our prayers? He sometimes gives us other than what we ask for, sometimes less than what we ask for, sometimes exactly what we ask for, and sometimes more than what we ask for. But whatever we pray, whenever we pray, God always responds. What we need to have is the spiritual insight to take God's response and make a connection to our prayer requests. So then we can say, thank you, Lord, you responded to my prayer. My prayer request was here and here. God responds. And how God responds, you thank him for it. However he responds. When he gives you other than what you asked for, you thank him. When he gives you more than what you asked for, you thank him. You thank him for it always. When he gives you less than what you asked for, you thank him for it. You thank him as enthusiastically for as you do when he gives you more than what you asked for in expressing and demonstrating your graciousness. God, connecting God's response to our prayer request will help us to foresee, understand the assurance that God responds to our prayers. Now, the result of this teaching here, what about God want us to do? What do you think he want us to do? He want us to be fully assured that God responds to our prayers. Now, what does God do all day? He responds to the prayers of the righteous. God is everywhere watching, just waiting for you to ask him something so he can respond, just as he did with Solomon. Solomon asked and God responded, whatever you want. So what does God do all day? He listens to the prayers of the righteous and intervene and interact in their lives to bring about an answer to their prayer requests. I want to tell you, when you begin to live our lives, when we begin to live our lives with confidence, knowing that God is going to respond to our prayers, it's going to cause those who observe us to migrate to us because they will see a confident and courage that they don't see everywhere else. So what that does when everybody else is working in the workplace is paranoid because the rumor is circulating that the company is downsizing. You won't have to stand at the water fountain and engage in worried conversation with everybody else. And somebody will look at you that day and say, "Ain't you worried?" And you'll say, "I'm not worried." "Well, what are you going to do?" "I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know one thing, that God is going to do something because he's not going to let me starve to death. I may not keep living like I'm living now. I may not be as wasteful as I am now, but God is going to take care of me because he has promised that he will." And those who are worried, those who can't sleep at night, those who then look for illegal scheme and get taken in by schemes and scams because they are worried, you will be peaceful and pacified with the confidence and won't have to do that. Let's turn quickly as we conclude to Luke 11 and 1. But how can I do that? You have to be righteous. This is a promise God made to those who are righteous. You see, you say, "I'm not righteous," you say, "but I know that God has responded to some of my prayers." That may be true. But I want to tell you something. He hasn't promised to if you are not righteous. He hasn't promised to respond to all of your prayers. Now let me illustrate it like this. There's a good couple in this audience tonight. They promised to meet Sarah, several other members, me. Take us to Saltgrass Restaurant. They promised to feed and pay for whatever and all we could eat on a particular Sunday. They showed up. Ate less than we ate, but paid for everything, everybody, the whole meal. They promised to do that on that day. They didn't promise to do it on any other day. Now, they may decide to do it again, but I want to tell you something. When you go to sleep at night, we are not anticipating that every Sunday because they have not made that promise. So I can't have confidence in that. But we can have confidence in that which God has promised, and he has promised to respond to the prayers of those who are righteous. This disciples heard Jesus praying, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. In Luke 11:1. And he taught them to pray. He provided a model prayer for them. In Luke 11:2, he said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Now let me just take a moment to talk about that. Our Father. One of the problems in our society is there are too many children who can't say Our Father. There are children who have never had a chance to speak to their father. And that leaves an empty void and all kinds of havoc in their lives because they don't have a father to call father. What would you do for the privilege of calling God your father? There are children who have never known their father. They will pay money and travel great distance for the privilege of finally meeting their father so they can sit down and call him my father. What will you do for the privilege of calling God my father? Not only that, what will you do for God calling you my child? Sometimes we call people our father and they are not our father. Sometimes my grandchildren, friends are over at the house, and when I come in, I allow them the privilege of calling me dad. But I don't ever call them my child. They have the privilege of calling me father, but they don't enjoy the privilege of me calling them my child. So not only what will you do for calling God my father, what will you do for God calling you my child? What a wonderful relationship to have and to be able to call God my father, and he called me my son. My daughter, my child, what will you do? Will you do as much as some in order to call someone on earth their father? What should you do for that privilege? Prayerfully, whatever the Lord asks. Whatever the Lord asks, that's what you ought to do. Whatever the Lord asks, that's what you ought to do. Look in your Bible to Matthew 3. When will God call me his child? I'm glad you asked that question. Matthew 3:16. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heaven were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. When will God call us my child? When we become righteous. When will we become righteous? When we have been born again into the family, God pronounced that Jesus was his son after he was baptized. Will you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You see, that's necessary in order for you to be born again. Will you repent of sins? Will you have a change of heart about whatever it is opposed to the will of God? Will you confess, acknowledging that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Will you be baptized in water for the washing away of sins? If you will do that, you can call him my father. He will call you my child, and you will be righteous. And he's not ashamed to call us my children. What will you do tonight so that you can go home a child of God? Calling him my father and him calling you my child. What will you do tonight for the complete assurance that whatever it is that I'm asked of the Heavenly Father, he will respond? What will you do tonight for that assurance? Will you surrender all that you are and have to him? Will you submit to baptism tonight after having repented of sins, confessed him to be the Lord in Christ? Will you be born again tonight? Will you accept the righteousness that God is trying to give you? Who can say no to that? He's wanting tonight to take your sins away. Who will say yes to that? If you will say yes, why not come right now while we stand and sing a song of encouragement?
So the Savior.